5. Carolyn is shown around the workspace of the Broderers Guild at Norwich Cathedral and chats with Helen Jenkins about the various projects they are currently working on.
Helen, thank you so much for taking the time this morning to talk to us about the projects you've got going on here at the Broderers Guild at the Cathedral.
Thank you. Thank you very much for coming. It's nice to be able to sort of like tell some different people about our work. So we've got a number of different projects here. We don't just do work for the cathedral. I would say about half of our work is for the cathedral, half of our work is for outside. And for outside, it could come from individual churches or just generally people who have got ecclesiastical textiles that they would like to have repaired. Sometimes it's chasubles and stoles.
What are they?
So the chasubles are the poncho-style garments that priests wear when they're doing the Eucharist. That's right.
Ah, right.
And the stole is the long scarf that they wear as well, which is probably one of the main pieces, most important pieces of ecclesiastical clothing. So the stole is really important. So we have the projects that we have, they sort of pass through. And this outside project that we're looking at the moment, which is a green frontal. So this is something that sits on the front of the altar. It's very highly decorative. In this case, this has come from St. Stephen's Church in Gloucester Road, London. And we've previously done repaired a beautiful chasuble and stole for them, which is how we've come to acquire this piece. And it's still at the appraisal stage, so it's still at the stage. They haven't agreed to do the work yet, because I still need to actually have a look at it and formally write an estimate out for them. But it's a green frontal measuring round about 8 foot long by about 3 foot high. It's green, it's silk damask. When it first came to us, it had that very particular London smell that you only ever sort of like, you smell it on the tube sometimes.
A smoggy smell.
Yes, a smoggy smell. And it's and it absolutely reeked of that. So every time we opened it up, you had this smell coming out. Now that it's been in Norwich for a little while, it's sort of gradually... The smell
smelling
is just,
sweeter.
It is. It's smelling a lot sweeter in the nice Norwich air. So what we have... you've got the green silk damask, and this is unusual because we very, very rarely see green silk damask, because it's the colour that comes out for around about 6 months of the year, from June all the way through to December, and in most cases it rots away because you have the sunlight, you've got powerful sunlight, it's out for a long time and it just doesn't last. So in my 27 years of working here, I have probably seen about 3 green frontals. I've seen lots of different ones, but very, very rarely do I see one of these.
So this is in relatively good condition.
Very, very. But apparently the story goes is that it was made in roundabout, they think it was made in 1896, and it was put away in the late 20s, early 30s, and it's been in storage ever since then, and which is one of the reasons why it survived. And like many of these textiles that we come across, it was discovered in the back of a cupboard, wrapped up, forgotten about, and you generally have a new church warden or a new vicar that comes in, and they look through everything and sort of like have a good clear out and tidy up, and they come across these, maybe a suitcase of fantastic textiles. And this is one of these finds. It's believed to have been done, I think it's Pugin, possibly a Pugin frontal. And in those days, the church architects, would actually design everything in the church. So it wasn't just the building, they would design the furniture, maybe the silver, and certainly all the textiles. And in Victorian times, they would have ordered, you'd have your matching frontal, chasuble, stoles, burse and veil set, so everything was exactly the same, and they would order them in, say, 5 different colours. So there was a huge amount of textile work being produced, and a lot of the embroidery would have been produced by maybe in convents or specialist workshops. And I would imagine that as this was, it was by a London architect, it was for a London church, then this would have been produced in a workshop somewhere in London.
And a lot of the embroidery is done in gold thread?
Yes, so you've got a mix of silk floss embroidery, shaded silk floss, so you've got a graduation of colours, and also you've got heavy gold work embroidery as well. And some of it is padded, so you can see that there are areas here
that's raised.
That are raised, and so that's been padded. Sometimes it's padded with cotton wool. Sometimes it's padded with card, or you even find some bits with wood as well, which are incredibly difficult to stitch over. But it just gives a lot of surface texture to it. And these are also, these bits of embroidery are also what we call slips. And a slip is a piece of embroidery that's been done on a frame, on a piece of linen, and then it's cut out and it's mounted onto a background fabric, and this is what's happened to this.
The embroidery is a combination of sort of a different shade of green, blues, and a rust.
Yes.
And with the olive green, it's really quite sophisticated.
It is, it is. It's very, and it would have glowed in Victorian times when it was freshly made, it would have glowed. We haven't got too much tarnishing. There's a little bit of tarnishing over here where it goes grey. But certainly the gold cords tend to survive better than the silver ones. And it's the silver, if you have silver cords, you tend to find that they're all grey by now because they tarnish really badly.
Is the conservation work made more difficult if the damask is rotted? Or
yes, yes. So the one that we're going to look at in the other room has got rotted damask, so which is why this one is such an unusual thing. There are a few little bits of damask which are frayed, but not very much at all. But the one in the other room is very, very dry and flaky. And there's a number of things that we can do depending on the type of design that they've got.
Right.
Would you like to go and have a look at that one and talk about that one?
Yes, let's. If you can take this on, how long do you think it'll take to...
Oh, it'll be in the workshop for months and months and months. It'll be a lovely job. The volunteers will really enjoy working on it because it's... I like it because it keeps them quiet for a long, long time. like it because it's beautiful.
Yes,
and it's painstaking.
I can entirely understand
and
that.
Really get into it.
So I would imagine it's a quite a meditative activity once you you're on the site, you're in the cathedral working on concentrating on something. So stunning.
It is. Okay, good. So this is the other frontal that I mentioned. It's a white frontal. Generally, white frontals survive very, very well because they are well looked after. They come out on special occasions. People really value them. Whereas with the green ones, generally, because they've been out for 6 months of the year, people take them for granted. But this one's special. So again, we've got the silk floss embroidery with the gold work. We've got less gold work on this one. And the colours we've got on this one are shades of sort of coral pink. So we've got roses here, stylized roses. So it's a coral pink, apricot sort of colour. We've also got stylized lilies as well in shades of cream with green stamens. Obviously, we've got the green stems. And then we've got this intertwining pattern which joins everything together.
It is absolutely stunning. It's really eye-catching.
It is. This one's a little bit later, so we think it's probably from about the 19... It would be, I think, between 1900 and possibly 1920. You know, it's that sort of style, and also with the fringe as well. So we can tell quite a lot with the fringes.
Yes.
So the green one we just looked at, that had a very, very fine fringe, which is what you find in the earlier of the late latter 19th century, and in the early 20th century, you would still have a silk fringe, but it would be corded like this.
Right.
And the fringes themselves are beautiful of this period because they're made to match the embroidery on the actual frontal itself.
It's got multicolours streaming through, and they all pick up the colours of the... It is. Where does this belong?
So this one comes from, and I'm probably going to get the name wrong for people, is Gulbodisham. Gulbodisham, and every time I said that to the person who brought it, he corrected me, and I still couldn't get it right by the end of it. So, yes, so apologies to anyone from that area. I do apologise to them for mispronouncing it. So the other one that we're doing for outside at the moment is we are involved in the Circle of Life project. And this is a project that... is in conjunction with the Royal School of Needlework, the Guild of Upholders, who look after, who are the livery guild in London for soft furnishers and upholsterers. And they are celebrating, I think it's 400 years of incorporation. And so there's a huge, huge project to do with it, and each of the 12 cathedrals that have been asked to do so are producing two pieces of work. And one of them is a picture of their cathedral on blue silk. So these have all been prepared by the Royal School of Needlework and sent to us. We finished ours, and so this is our Norwich Cathedral. But if you look at it, and I'm sure there'll be many members of the public that will look at our cathedral, and they'll think, well, where's the tower?
Yes.
We haven't got a tower on it. How can it be our cathedral? And we are in Norwich are very used to the scene that we see of our cathedral. We either see it from the cloister, from the angle from the cloister, or we see it from up on Mousehold Heath.
Of course.
You know, so you look down on it. And, you know, we think of our tower as as an iconic, or spire, I suppose, is a better word for it. So we think of it as our, you know, it's what identifies Norwich. Well, we did complain about it and say, well, we haven't got it. We haven't got a spire. Salisbury's got their spire on. Other cathedrals have got spires. Why can't we have our spire? And they had actually said originally that the reason we haven't got a spire is because of the actual... they would have to make the cathedral so small that it wouldn't fit in with the other cathedrals if you managed to get the spire in. And we took photographs, and actually at the end of the day I had to concede that, you know, although we know that there is a spire there, what we've actually got is when you go outside and you stand by the entrance gate to the close and you look at the cathedral
from
this view, that's what you see, and you just see a tiny, tiny little bump at the top of it, you know, and I can just show you.
So how can we describe this briefly?
It's a shield, it's an armorial shield with a medieval style tent in the middle. You've got the Lamb of God flying the St. George's flag, and he's sitting on a cushion.
Well, it's... it'll look stunning.
It will.
Once it's done.
It's meant to be finished, I think, for the end of March.
Helen, thank you so much for this brief introduction to your current work.
Lovely.
It's fascinating and beautiful.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much for coming.